John 14 tells us about the second Jesus talking. Whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these. The Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. So that we come before him and ask him, and we know that he wants to come through for us. That's who he is. So he wants to come through. But I'm not going to talk a lot about this type of prayer. I want to talk about a different, this type, other. I think some of us are missing out because we've been praying for some things. We've been praying and asking God for some things, and you haven't seen them. Some of us have been praying. It's like, God, I need more peace. Lord, I need more peace. God, I need self-control. Maybe there's an area in your life that it's like, sure, I just keep on returning to that thing. I keep on returning to that way of living. I keep on returning. God, give me self-control. And then it happens again, whatever it is. You have that extra chocolate. I realized this morning, by the way, and Hanti and Willem have been on my case for a little bit. I realized I've taken a sabbatical from exercise for a bit too long now. So I need to get back into. So this past week, I was like, you know what, Josh? It's over. Self-control is back. But some of us, we're praying for some things. We're praying. And I want to show it to you this way. Imagine these are the keys to my house, okay? So I got the thing to open the gate, and then I got the keys. Imagine I'm stood outside my house, outside the gate. And I'm shouting to Meg inside. Like, Meg! Let me in. It's raining out here. Let me in. Please, I need a cup of tea. I am cold. I need to get inside. I need to change my clothes. I've got, please, Meg, help me. She look out. She's like, you've already got access. Why are you asking for something that I've already given to you? What? Just use what you already have. Why are you still asking for something? And so, no, Meg, please, I don't know what I'm doing with this. Help me, let me in. Get me inside. And some of us are approaching God, and we're asking for some things that he's already given to us. There are certain things that he has placed in your life, the authority he's given you, that you're asking for something. And I believe the Lord would say today, I've already given you access. I've already given it to you. I want to show you an example of this in Acts chapter 3, verse 1 to 10. So we're going to do a little bit of Bible reading in church this morning. You ready? All right, we're going to jump in. This is just after Jesus has resurrected. He's gone back to be with the Father. Acts chapter 3, the disciples are trying to figure out what it looks like to share with the world about Jesus. And so they're going to the synagogue, they're going to the temple, and this is what it says. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 p.m. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple court. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, look at us. Next slide. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. And instantly, the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Amazing story of a miracle of healing that takes place here. But let's just jump back one slide for a second, if we can, Taddy. I just want to show you here, in verse 6, it says, then Peter prayed to... No. It says, then Peter said. Then Peter said. We just jump ahead to the... Then Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you. Church, there are some things that the Bible teaches us that God has already given us access to that some of us are still asking for. And I want to ask you as your pastor to do something strange this morning. Okay? I want to invite you to stop asking and start declaring. Because there's certain things that we've been, God, please open the gate. God, please open it up. God, I want a cup of tea. And he says, I've given you access. I've given you authority. Come in. It's open to you. Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm just such a bad. Hey, I've already given you grace. Just step into it today and recognize that he has already done a work in your life. And he's already given you authority to step into some things rather than just waiting for them to happen. And so God wants to do something in us today, I believe, church, that is going to change how some of us pray. And I want to give you four things that I believe God has given us that he wants us to step into and start declaring and speaking over ourselves. And I believe that there is power when we start taking authority in these areas. We're going to see some things shift. So the first thing that God has promised to us is that he will give us a character of integrity. A character of integrity. Let me show you Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23. And I'm going to pull it up here as well, because I want to give it to you in two different translations. So here on the screen it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And I want to read it for you as well from the Amplified version. I love what it says here. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit, the result of his presence within us, is love, unselfish concern for others, joy, inner peace, patience, not the ability to wait, but how we act while waiting. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. About 2 years ago, Meg and I, or maybe just over, we went away for a 24-hour break to Swellendam, booked an Airbnb, went away. Because we had, at the time, a three-month-old baby. Now, I believed myself to be a patient person. And then I had a child. And I discovered some things within me that were unusual. It was called anger. It's like, why do I never sleep anymore? And it did some weird things in me. And so me and Meg, we were just a lot more like frustrated, a lot more snappy with each other. And I was frustrated with myself for a lack of patience. And I remember we went away and I'm sat outside and it was one of those like you hope to go away and then it's just so cold. And you're like, why is it so cold? So I get frustrated about everything. So I sit down and I read Galatians 5. And I remember I felt God saying to me, this is the fruit of being with the Spirit. What happens when I'm around the Holy Spirit? What happens when I spend time with the Holy Spirit? Guess what happens? I'm more patient. If I spend time outside and I'm just trying to do my own life and get through things, then I can be more irritable, then I can be more prideful, then I can be less gentle, I'm less kind. But when I'm around the presence of Jesus, I am a kinder person. Because of who he is, it does something in me. It rubs off on me. It puts fruit in me. And that's why I love that translation here with the Amplified, where it says, the result of his presence within us. Something happens when his presence is in us. It changes our nature. Some of us have been praying for some things to happen. And the truth is, God has already given you access and everything you need for those things to happen. You've been praying for self-control. Guess what? He's already placed it within you. By the power of his Spirit, you've got to start taking authority. You've got to say, in the name of Jesus, I declare that you have placed within me, by the power of your Spirit, self-control. And so I bind every lie of the enemy, and I'm coming under the authority of Jesus. We've got to start taking our authority. Because some of us, we're praying for things, and the Lord would say again today, you already have it. Take hold of it. Take hold of the things that he has promised to you, because he wants to put within us an integrity, and it comes from this fruit of the Spirit. Our character is shaped by the Holy Spirit. Our nature. Oh, that's just how I am. No, it isn't. It may be how you are today, but God wants to transform you to make you more like him. And so we've got to be people of character, but that's within you. Some of us in our marriages, the way we speak to each other, I want to challenge you today. Be more gentle. Husbands, men, be more gentle. Why? Because it's a fruit of the Spirit. We need to take ownership of who the Holy Spirit is. You can't afford to just shoot your mouth off and talk any kind of... No, no, no. I'm under the authority of Christ, so he's given me authority, and I'm going to change to become more like him. And so I want to encourage us. He's given us. And so it's not outside of you. It's within your power to see this change, because he's already given it to you. And so you've got to pray, but you start declaring it. You start declaring who he's made you to be, how he's designed you and shaped you. The second thing I believe he's given us is the power of God. It's a promise, and he gives us authority because of his power at work within us. Let's just cycle back to that Acts 3, verse 6. Then Peter said, silver or gold, I do not have. What I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. There was something in the promise. Again, Peter did not pray for God to do it. Peter stepped out in the authority that he'd been given. There are some things going on around you in your suburb, and you've got to start taking authority over them, because you're going to start seeing the power of God move through you. Listen, church, I believe, I've got too much evidence that God's a healer to believe that he won't do it. I may have shared this story before, so forgive me if you've heard me share it before, but I remember being in my final year of high school. So in the UK, I was 15, 16 years old. And there was someone in one of the younger years, probably 11, 12 years old, and this kid was in a wheelchair. And for about 3-4 months, I was like, walk to school. I'd be like, this is the day I pray for him. Come on, Josh, let's do this. Let's go. And every day I'd be like, nope, no, it's not, you know, when you see him. So this one day, it's summer. All of my friends were about to go out to the school field. We're going to go and play some football. And so I see this kid, and I'm like, I say to my friends, hey, I'll come out just now. I'll be with you. And so I was the head boy. I don't know how I managed to make that happen. Talk my way into it. So it was a bit weird anyway. So I go up to this kid. I'm like, hey, my name's Josh. I believe in Jesus. I believe he can heal you. Can I pray for you? He's like, yeah, sure. So I crouch down, and I believe there's power in laying on hands. So I'm praying here, crouch down. And then all my friends who had just gone out to play football walk back in looking for me. And I've got my hand here. And they come back in, and they're like, what are you doing? It was such a weird moment. So I prayed the most tepid, awkward prayer you've ever heard. Jesus, thank you for healing. Amen. Yeah, anyway, let's go, boys. You know, I'm like trying to still be cool. So nothing happens in the moment. So I'm sharing this story awkwardly with some people. Because then I leave school, like, very soon after that. I do my exams, leave school. couple of months later, I'm sharing this story with some people who still go to the school, kind of laughing at how awkward it was. And they're like, oh, do you mean, I think his name was Cameron. Do you mean Cameron? It's like, yeah. He was like, oh, he's walking now. He's walking. He's fine. Jesus used my most awkward, tepid, like, it did not feel like a powerful prayer. It was so awkward. And he used my moment of faith to see healing. I've seen arthritis healed where people couldn't walk and seen them jumping around. I've seen backs healed where people were in wheelchairs and they've come out and they're running around. I've seen God heal people. I believe he can. And listen to me, church. I believe he wants to use us to see people experience the power of God in our city. In this time. You. Not me, you. He wants to use every one of us. That when we pray, we're going to see things. But listen to me. I've also prayed for people, believed. I prayed through the night. I remember one time. I was set my alarm. I'm in high school still. I set my alarm for like 1 a.m. And I prayed through the night for 3-4 hours for a guy to get healed, a friend of mine who had a brain tumor. And I went to his funeral. He did not survive. Why did that happen? And why did the other guy get healed? I don't know. I can't give you that answer. But let me tell you, I'm not going to stop praying because I have seen God do this stuff. And so I've in the authority I've been given, I'm going to start believing and declaring that he's going to move. And I want us to start seeing it as well, that his power is real. And so we can see healing. We can see miracles. We can see God do powerful, powerful things. The third thing that he's promised to us as believers is this, that he's given us words of life. He's given you and I words of life. That when we speak encouragement into people, when we speak it, that it does something in them. And particularly, I want to speak about the words of life when it comes to sharing about the good news of Jesus. Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20 says this. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus has sent us out with words of life. And even if you've been here the last couple of weeks, you've heard us saying, we're believing that this spring God's going to do something powerful in our church. That we want to see, we're going to have a baptism service on the 8th of September. We want to see this hall filled with people, filled up to the brim with people who are going to discover more of who Jesus is. And guess what that's going to take? Each one of us sharing about the good news of Jesus with our friends around us. And when we do that, we sow seeds of faith and then we pray for the Holy Spirit to water them. We sow the seeds. We say, God's given me words of life to share with someone, an encouragement, something kind, something where I can speak life into someone. He's put that within you. That's not outside of you. He's put it within you. And when we do that, and then we pray and we say, God, would you water that seed? Would you speak to them? Would you encourage them? Would that grow into something of your saving grace in their life? And so God has placed within every one of us words of life that we can speak into others. And the final thing I want to show you that he has promised to us that we can step into in our authority is freedom in Christ. He's promised you freedom. Many of us, I think, come into churches and church services, and the truth is that there is something in our life that is containing us. In some way, we feel bound by whether it's fear, whether there's some insecurity, whether there's uncertainty about the future, whether it is, we talked earlier about anger. Many of us, we go through life and we're bound up by certain things. And, you know, we called our church Freedom Church because we believe that God has promised us that we can be a free people. The Bible says in John 10, verse 10, that Jesus came so that we can have a life and life in all its fullness. The fullness of life. That's what I believe for each one of us. that Jesus promises us freedom, and it's not outside of you. He's actually put that authority within you. Isaiah 61 says it this way. This is a prophetic word about Jesus, but there's something in it for us as well. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners. Some of us, we came into church this morning and we felt bound up. We felt captive to whether it was our sin, whether it's our depression, whether it's our fear, whether it's our uncertainties. And let me tell you something. Jesus promises us freedom in Christ. Jesus promises us that we don't need to live in captivity to those things. And he wants to, I even believe today, that the Lord wants to come and set some people free, even this morning, from some things. Because he wants to release faith in us, church. And I know this is a message, maybe a bit more of a meaty message. And if you're a guest here today, believe God has something in you, in this for you as well. I believe he wants to speak and minister. But if you're a Jesus follower, if you're a believer in the house today, can I encourage you? He has placed more power within you, more freedom within you, more words of life within you than you realize. And it's time for us to stop shouting from the outside, "Let me in. I need more freedom. I need more of this. I need more hope," whatever it is, and start to realize that he's placed an authority within you to take hold of the promises that he's already given you. So we're just going to, as Jesus followers in this room, can I encourage you in the next week, start noticing when you pray. You just say, "Lord, let me start." Pull up a verse and just declare it. Just say, "Hey, this verse, I believe this for my life. I'm going to pray, Lord, I believe that you have set me free. So I'm in agreement with your word. In Jesus' name, I want to see it this week. Amen." We start declaring the things that he's promised to us. And listen to me. You're going to see some things shift in your life that are powerful. That are powerful. Some of us, we've been living in captivity for so long that we don't know what it looks like to live a life outside of fear. We don't know what it looks like to live a life outside of rejection. Because you just make all your decisions based out of, well, what if they reject me? Actually, Jesus wants to come and bring freedom into our hearts today. So I'd love to pray for us. And so if you want to close your eyes with me, I'm going to pray for those of us who say, "Man, I need freedom in my life today. And I want to take hold of it. I want to step into it. I want freedom from the things that have contained me, the areas where I felt oppressed." So Jesus, I pray today for every person right now in this moment who's felt contained, felt oppressed, felt bound in some kind of way. Lord, I pray that you would come right now in this moment and bring freedom, bring healing in Jesus' name. I declare this is a moment of healing and restoration. So if that's for you, I just encourage you, some kind of way, you just reach out your hands to God, say, "I need some healing. I need some freedom today. I need to see something shift in my heart, shift in my mind." If that's for you today, you just respond in this moment. Lord, I pray for every person in this place responding to you now. Lord, I pray that you would, in this right now, in Jesus' name, I pray a breaking off of every lie of the enemy. And I pray freedom, freedom from anxiety, freedom from fear. Lord, I pray that you would come and pour out your love into people's hearts and minds in this moment. Thank you, Lord, that you're coming with a plan, an agenda to bring healing and freedom in Jesus' name today. In Jesus' name.